Psalm 104, I have no idea why this is on my heart. I do not know. I have no idea why I'm preaching this other than I feel like the Lord's leading in it. So you pray for me that that I'll God will show it to me, or God will cause something to come out of my reckless mouth that'll be a blessing to some people. I'd tell you what I'd like to do. I'd just like to read the whole chapter. It's 35 verses here. If that don't bother anybody, say amen. Okay? This is the day the Lord has made. It's the first day of the week. Let's just spend it just listening to what the Lord has to say. And then we're going to kind of just concentrate on a few verses out of this chapter. And I want you to just be attentive now and listen and hear the Word of God and follow along with me. Psalm 104. And that's where we're going to concentrate on this morning. The Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretchest out the heavens like a curtain, who layeth the beams of his chambers in the waters, who maketh the clouds his chariot, who walketh upon the wings of the wind, who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire, who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever. Thou coverest it with deep as with a garment. The waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke, they fled. At the voice of thy thunder, they hasted away." Now, here's what I want you to be thinking of while we're reading this. It's the purpose of it. I want you to think at how limited God is not. Okay? I want you to think about how powerful he is. He's here. It's like God's writing his resume to you. It's like, "God, are you qualified to fix the problems and the issues in my life?" And God's given you his resume. He's the one that covers the deep like a garment. He put water on the earth to cover it. The water stood above the mountains. He's the one that made waters go up higher than the mountains. Think about that, okay? So keep that in mind, how big God is and what he can do while you're reading this. Verse 7 again. "At thy rebuke they fled, at the voice of thy thunder they hasted away. They go up by the mountains, they go down by the valleys unto the place which thou hast founded for them. Thou hast set a bound that they may not pass over, that they turn not again to cover the earth." Think about that. "He sendeth the springs into the valleys which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. The wild asses quench their thirst. By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap, the cedars of Lebanon which he hath planted." How many of you looked at cedar trees? You know what? They're just oozing with sap all the time. Isn't that right? Okay? This Bible's right. He's telling you what he can do. And he's telling you about the plenteousness in which he provides for this earth. God is not some faraway mystical ideology that created the earth and then left it alone. He maintains it. He keeps it going. It is by his word and his commandment that creatures live and that creatures die. It's by his word and his commandment. Man is not destroying this earth, but what God allows this earth to go through. That's where they're all wrong, okay? Just remember that. Oh, let's see here. Verse 17, "Where the birds make their nest, as for the stork, the fir trees are her house. The high hills are a refuge for the wild goats, and the rocks for the conies. He appointed the moon for seasons, the sun knoweth his going down. Thou makest darkness, and it is night, wherein all the beasts of the forest do creep forth. The young lions roar after their kind, after their prey, and they seek their meat from God. The sun ariseth, they gather themselves together, and lay them down in their dens. Man goeth forth unto his work and to his labor until the evening. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them. All the earth is full of thy riches. So is this great and wide sea, wherein are things creeping innumerable, both small and great beasts. By the way, we still have not discovered every creature that lives on this earth. Did you know that? We're making discoveries all the time, especially when it comes to the deep. We're able to go down in places we've never been before, and we're seeing things down there, and we're going, the scientists are going, I have no idea what that is. That looks pretty neat, though. Let's take a picture of it and classify it. They're still finding the innumerable creatures and creeping things. Verse 26. There go the ships. There is that Leviathan whom thou hast made to play therein. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. I want you to look at verse 27 again. These wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. That thou givest them, that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thine hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created, and thou renewest the face of the earth. The glory of the Lord shall endure forever, and the Lord shall rejoice in his works. He looketh on the earth, and it trembleth. He toucheth the hills, and they smoke. And I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. My meditation of him shall be sweet. I will be glad in the Lord. And verse 35, let the sinners be consumed out of the earth, and let the wicked be no more. Bless thou the Lord, O my soul. Praise ye the Lord. And all God's people say to that, amen. I want us to look back at verses 27 through 30. That's what I have on the screen, and I have that underlined. These wait all upon thee. Who feeds the birds that fly around the air? Who feeds the fish? Well, it depends on whether George is fishing or not. Or if I'm fishing. My luck is I feed more fish than I feed on. Okay, but who feeds the fish of the sea? God does. Who raised the mountains up? God did. Who brings them back down? God did. Who opens his hand wide and feeds his creation and fills them up? God does that. So I want you to be thinking about that. In verse 27, these wait all upon thee, that thou mayest give them their meat in due season. I want you to ponder that and think about that. These that thou givest them, they gather. Thou openest thy hand, they are filled with good. Thou hidest thy face, they are troubled. Thou takest away their breath, they die and return to their dust. Thou sendest forth thy spirit, they are created. And thou renewest the face of the earth. I want you to look at that word renew, because that's what it's talking about. He says, if you hide your face, they all die. When you send forth your spirit, they're all revived again and they come back to life. And he said, thou renewest the face of the earth. And I want you to ponder that. Think about it while we pray. You pray for me so I know how to preach this. All right? Heavenly Father, I need your help. I don't know, Lord, where you want to go with this. Lord, I know kind of the idea. And Lord, I'm going to let your word do what your word does in people's hearts and people's minds. And I pray, dear God, that, Lord, that you would just bless this message. Bless it in the hearers, in the ears of these, Lord, that are sitting here, those that are watching online. I thank you, Lord, for them. And I pray, Lord, that this message could be a blessing to someone who really needs it. Lord, I don't know who that is. And I pray, Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would just open up your hand wide like you do for your creation, and that you would feed your people. Lord, we need it. We're on a long journey. We don't, sometimes, Lord, we don't know that we're going to make it. And so, Lord, we ask that you rise and give us bread, satisfy our hunger. This is why we're here. We ask you, dear God, Lord, that you would prepare us for this week that is coming. Lord, the things that have passed, they're already gone. Lord, it's today and tomorrow, Lord, that we look to. And we ask you, Heavenly Father, Lord, to do for us today and tomorrow everything that you did yesterday and all the time before that. Lord, show yourself to someone today. Manifest yourself to someone today. And let it be a blessing to them. And Lord, just help me preach this message, I pray, in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen. Turn to Psalm 101. Psalm 101. That's going to be a message, a teaching more than anything, on how to react toward God, or how to react as far as situations of life are concerned, how to how to know that God is doing something in your life or what He's doing. But really, it's a teaching on something that I've learned in life, something I'm still learning, and that is the power of waiting on the Lord. The power of waiting on the Lord. I've heard I went to bed last night with a thought in my mind. And it fits the message. And as I was, I thought, you know what? I've got my phone next to me and I've got a little note thing on there. I ought to punch this in on the note so I don't forget it. And I went to sleep last night. When I woke up this morning, and I've been trying now, ever since I woke up, to try to remember what it was that I didn't write down last night. Well, now I remember. Okay? That's Psalm 1. And I'll probably forget it between now and the next 5 minutes. But anyway, in Psalm 1, verse 3, He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit. When does he bring forth fruit? In his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. We say that of plants, that all plant life on the earth has a season. It has a season whereby it's sown. It has a season where it grows. And then it has a season where it brings forth fruit. We also say it of the animal kingdom as well. If you commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but what? Wait. What was Jesus' commandment to the disciples? Go back to Jerusalem, and there's one thing I want you to do. Wait. Wait for what? God had a season. It says when the day of Pentecost was fully come. You know what Pentecost was? Somebody tell me what Pentecost was. It was a feast of what? It was a harvest. It was a feast of weeks, a feast of harvest. It was the season in which they brought forth what God had increased for them. And they were to have a feast, and just like us, our pilgrim forefathers, with Thanksgiving. When they surrendered to God, and God began to bless them, and they gave that day back to God at the time of harvest. So it was waiting on a season. And God said, just wait. It's not ripe yet. It's not time yet. But when it's time, your eyes will just go at what I do instead of what you do. So that way, when the praise starts getting passed around and the pats on the back start coming around, you'll say, that was God that did that. I had nothing to do with it other than God used me. Okay? So then, you see that the rushing mighty wind came on and so on. Let me read some more scriptures. I ain't ready yet. Psalm 25:3. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Psalm 25:5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. So what if you prayed 6:30 in the morning? God didn't go to bed. Amen. God didn't take off. He's still God. Amen. You wait on him all day long. Psalm 25:21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Your integrity is not what you do to facilitate God's actions in your life or your marriage or your church. It's the fact that you waited on God to do. That's your integrity right there. Psalm 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on him. And here's the devil telling you, oh, just God's waiting on you to take a leap of faith. Why don't you show to everybody and prove how right God's word is by jumping off and making God send angels to come down to gather you up? He was trying to get Jesus to tempt his own father into making him. And I'll tell you something. A lot of things that we have done in our life, we're tempting God. We're pushing God, saying, God, you promised me that I could, that you would never leave me, or you would never do this and you would never do that. And I'm going to do this because you said so. And I know it in my heart, and I've seen it in reality, that some of these preachers that preach that no matter what you do or how you do or this and that and the other, you come down, pop off a little prayer, you go out and be a queer, and God will still take you to heaven. That's tempting the Lord God. That's wickedness. Somebody say amen. Psalm 37. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. How many of you would like to take your country back for the Lord? Raise your hand and say amen. Wait. Wait. Because I got it in my mind that God has a far better president than Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz. His name is Jesus Christ. And he's going to come back one of these days, and we're going to come with him and rule and reign for 1,000 years. And I got it in my mind, somebody's going to be running this area here. Might as well be us. Amen? Amen. We'll do it in righteousness. Wait on the Lord. Psalm 39:7. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. Psalm 40. I waited patient for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and he heard my what? Cry. Remember what I said. God will hear the tears coming down your cheeks. The Bible says he stores them all in a bottle. I think that's as a remembrance of everything that you've been through that you cried over. And he says, I didn't forget you. I got a bottle full of your tears right here. Never forget them. Well, that's good, isn't it? Psalm 52, verse 9. I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it, and I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints. Psalm 59, because of his strength will I wait upon thee, for God is my defense. Psalm 62, truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. Psalm, verse 5, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Verse 1 is Psalm 65, praise waited for thee, O God in Zion, and unto thee shall the vow be performed. Are you getting where I'm going with this here? It's just wait. How many of you have ever done this study before? Just look up the word wait in the Bible. That's good. I guarantee you, you found out that we're supposed to wait on God to do instead of us doing for God. Let me tell you what's wrong with a lot of prophecy teaching. There's people out there that have what's called a dominion theology. And they have it in their mind that God is calling on the Christian churches to take over the planet for Jesus Christ so that then he can come and reign over a planet that we already took over for him. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that someplace in your Bible. It doesn't exist. And I'll tell you what, it's a dangerous doctrine. Because it tells, and let me say this too. I'm conservative, I'm a Christian, right-wing fundamentalist, abortion-hating conservative. But I will not support a lot of these conservative causes in Washington, D.C. because some of them are based upon dominion theology that says we have to take America back for Jesus so he can come back. It's a lie. I don't believe that. Amen. Listen, he'll come when it's season. Because his coming is all about a harvest, isn't it? About the wheat and the tares. Let's get the tares, gather them, then we'll gather the wheat. And it's all about harvest time. It's all about a season when God's going to do these things. So I don't think that I have to take over anything for God. I'm just asking God all the time, God, take over here. God, take over. Okay? And I've learned the best things. Are those you wait for. My dad had a saying. Every time we sat down at the dinner table in mid to late summer, because when we sat down, we'd have fresh tomatoes, cucumbers, fresh fried okra. I'm talking about that cornmeal okra fried, not that batter stuff you get at the restaurants. Talk about the good stuff. And we'd eat that. And dad would say, that slept in the garden last night. I'm not kidding. Every time we sit down, if we was eating that stuff that he grew, he'd say, that slept in the garden last night. In other words, I just picked it. My dad would go out every spring. He always followed the signs. He had the Farmer's Almanac. At such and such time of year, he knew when to plant. He knew, Brother George, when the crop would be spawning out at Lake Kincaid. He knew it. Knew where they'd be. Knew when they'd be spawning. And he'd go out there and plant every spring. Why? So he could wait on when it's going to come up. You don't plant and harvest the same day. So he waited, and he waited, and he waited. It's one of the reasons why I don't like fishing for bass. Bass fishing, you got to wait. Okay? Catfish is a little better, but not. I like getting over them crappie beds. And just pull them in one at a time. Amen? That's what I like. My nature. We live in a world right now with the internet speeds that we have. We want the downloads to come that quick. Are you catching all that on you online people? You wouldn't believe how much money we put into getting you this stream, all right? And if it don't show up instantly, just have patience on it. God will get there in his time, amen? Now, let me say this, okay? What I thought I wanted in this church was a big Christian school. That's what I thought I wanted. And for a while there, I mean, we had a lot of students here for a while. And we had a lot of problems for a while. And I can remember Jody walking in this learning center here where we used to have all these desks, crying and praying, God, fill these desks. God, give us students here. That's what I wanted. And it seemed like every year the students dwindled. We'd get a little bit less every year. And God was doing that, and I didn't know it. Until finally, that last year, in 2008, I hated being in there. I hated it. I didn't want to go in there. I just didn't have really the leading to call it off, but I don't want to go in there. And it finally got so bad, and there was such a heavy, 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 heavy spirit on me that I just said, something ain't right. Lisa knows probably more than anybody else does what I went through, because she would ask me, what is wrong with you? Lisa, I don't know. And for a while, I thought that maybe God's done with me here at this church. And I made the mistake of mentioning that to Lisa. And she said, He is not! And I went, okay. Moving right along. You know what? Listen, you know what I learned? If God's going to move me, He's going to move her, because two have to walk together. That's how God does it. I'm just telling you, it's how He does it. So anyway, and a lot of you know all this, but I'm just putting it in the context of I'm telling you it works. So I went my office and shut the door. And there's a big window in my office that goes into Rose's office. And all them gals sitting in Rose's office going, what's the matter with him? What's going on? Okay? And what I was doing, I was fasting. Fasting is the wrong term for it, because it does not go fast. You ever fasted? And I prayed. And I had a notebook sitting next to me. And what I was going to do is I was going to write down ideas that came to me of what to do with this church. And so I'd pray for a while, read the Bible for a while, and then I'd think of something. I'd write it down. And I mean, almost before the ink was dried, I'd look at it and go, that's stupid. That won't work. And then I'd think of something else. Write it down. No, that ain't going to work. And I spent all day doing that. The next day, writing stuff down. And finally, the third day, I surrendered. And I said, God, You write it down. I don't care what You do. If You take me out of here, take me out. If You leave me here, that's fine. But You're going to have to do something here. Because nothing's going... The schools are wrecked. Daycares. It's just hurt us. We need something, Lord. We need something. I need something. And I called some pastor friends. I talked to them about it. They said, man, we'll pray for you. And on that third day, I finally said, God, I don't care what You do, as long as You're the one that does it. So here's what I'm going to do, God. I'm going to end my fast. And then I'm going to wait. Okay? And I felt better at the end of that. And about 2 weeks later, there was again. And I went back into prayer and fasted. God, I'm going to wrestle with You. Me and You's going to wrestle. Until You signify what it is You're going to do. And then right after that, seemed like I just popped up there, shut school and daycare down. Boom. Just like that. If You'd have told me that 2 years before that, I'd said, there ain't no way in the world that's going to happen. But by then, I was ready for it. And God brought me to that place. And I thought, well, I don't know if I'll sell this to the people here or whatever. And Lisa was home that day, and she sent me a text, and she said, if you feel like God's telling you to do that, and you do it. Bonnie was sitting there with me, and I started bawling. She said, you got a good wife. And I said, yeah, I know it. You see, God moved in her, moving in me at the same time. So we decided, got the board together, we decided, let's close it down, guys. Run its course. It's not helping us any, it's hurting us. Let's just shut her down, okay? Jeremy Howell reminded me, he was here for part of that, and he reminded me, he said, Mike, I didn't go to Christian school. I'm a preacher. I said, I only went a year and a half. I said, I'm a preacher. And he said, all the preachers we know, none of them went to Christian school. They're out preaching, serving the Lord. He said, I just got my mind that God already knows who's going to serve him, and he'll bring them to it. And I went, you know, that's pretty good. Okay? And I'm not knocking Christian school, because we're homeschooling these guys. For the one of the simple reasons is I don't want a girl going in his bathroom, and I don't want a boy going in hers. Amen? But anyway, and so when we decided to do that, I just, okay, Lord, that's great. And the pressure was off of me, but I'm going, I don't know what I'm going to do now. And I'll just make this short. 2 weeks later, God gave me the idea for the Watchman broadcast, and then we added the Bible study, and then we started putting our sermons on the internet, and then we started doing the live service like what we're doing now, and so on. And it took me years to get to that place. But God had taught me along the way, Sterling, don't get ahead of me. Don't think you know what I'm going to do yet, because you don't. Wait for me to do it. Okay? And I'll just tell you what happened. Did this Watchman broadcast, put it on the internet, put it on our website, and that weekend, in about 3 days, it had 500 views. Just out of the blue, out of nowhere, all these, and you know what, God was directing these people to watch this thing. And I went, like that. What I'm telling you is, I waited on God. I wanted to get ahead of him. I was trying to get ahead of him. But he wouldn't let me. He kept pulling me back. And it frustrated me. And it angered me. Then I just, God, you do it. You do it and we'll be satisfied. Okay? And I look at this church right now. Okay? There's people sitting in here, we're not here 5 years ago, 6 years ago, running this kind of ministry here. And there are people sitting here who were not here 7 years ago. God brought you here. I did not do that. I did not send you a card and say, why don't you come to Bethel? God put your nose in front of one of them videos, them crazy, wild-eyed conspiracy theory videos, and you said, hey, I want to listen to this. And what drew you was not my good looks. Amen. Or Roy's. It was the Word of God. And so, I don't know how to preach it, don't know how to end it. What I'm just telling you is, God has taken this little church, and I can point to some of you people and say, you were here then, and there's not very many people sitting in this room that was here 7 years ago. Not very many people at all. The majority of you came in after that. And I can tell, and you guys are my best friends in the whole world. And I learned, wait on the Lord. Now let me say just a few more things and I want to cut you loose. Okay, I'm going to deal with some areas to wait on the Lord in. Number one, if you feel a calling of God, wait. Wait. I announced the call to ministry at this altar 1982 when I was 16 years old. I did not get my first church until what was about 27 when we went to Richwoods. It was 1990. Okay? I didn't get my first church until many years after that. What I wanted was, right after Lisa and I got married, what I wanted then was to go get a church, and I tried it. I tried getting a church. I tried going back to college. I tried all of these things, and God just put a big slab of concrete right there and said, you're not going there, and you're not doing this. And I tried to push God into it, and God said no. Wasn't until I was ready. And then God brought me here, and I had, like I said, I had all these things I wanted to do. God said no, no, no on this, no on that. No, 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 no. Sounds like you moms. No, no, no. Stop it. And finally, God opened this thing up. So it's all you sitting here. About 900 computers tapped in right now. Right now, there's about 900 different families listening to this message. There will be several thousand more after it's posted. watch and listen to it. Then all the other things that we do that people watch live, then it gets posted and then others watch it. And much less, of course, now we're not streaming in Kenya today because it's raining. About 400 or 500 people out there every Sunday listening to us, sitting outside in the street, watching this little church worship the Lord and preach the old time way and preach His book. That's God. That's the kind of stuff God does when you'll wait for Him. Don't let anybody steal your blessing and your joy by telling you, oh, go ahead now, go. God wants you to do this, and God's waiting for you to do this. Don't believe it. Because I got about 50 other verses here where it says, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord, wait on the Lord. So in fact, let me go to this one, and I'm going to let you go. I promise. I promise I'll let you go. Where is it? Here we go. Ready? Y'all know this one. We're going to say it out loud. Say it with me. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Somebody say amen to that. Amen. Now, let me say this to you too. Okay, this is really going to... I want you to listen to me. I know most of you people here. You have been praying about issues in your life. Usually sin issues. You've been praying about it. I've taken phone calls. I've taken emails from people all over this world. Pastor, I prayed God would take this out of my life. And it's not gone. I don't know what... I had somebody tell me I'm not going to heaven now. What's wrong with me? I'm not going to go to heaven. Bawling her eyes out to me on the phone. And I'd ask him, did you ask God? Yes. I said, I can tell right now that you meant it. Because I've had people tell people, well, you obviously didn't mean it or God would have done it. No. That's not what this says. He'll do it in season. If you're praying, now listen to me. And here's what's causing people to go off the Bible. Everybody's got issues in their life. And they go find a church where the guru is telling them mental things that they can perform that'll drive sin out of their life. And it's a setup. It's not true. It's not right. It won't work. It's never worked, and it won't work now. So if you've asked God to deal with issues in your life, and you meant it, wait for Him to do it. Do you believe that God will bring things about? He that begun a good work in you will do what? He'll finish it. He will finish it where you can't. Whatever issue, I don't care if it's your marriage, I don't care if you're worried about your children and what they're doing. Wait for God. Wait for God. Wait for God. Amen? Let's pray.